Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You guys are cracking me up with some of your stories about the worst place you've ever lost your keys or your cell phone. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't feel so terrible or humiliated about some of my stories, though. I am a maestro at losing my cell phone or locking my keys in a car or a home. So much to the point now where it's imperative that I hide keys outside or in a place where I can get to them once I make the bonehead move that has become so familiar to me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good to have you halfway through our second show of the work week. It's a Twizzler Tuesday question. What's the worst place you've ever lost your keys, or we'll expand it to your cell phone? You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page. And it's easy to find the Facebook page, and I think you'll enjoy reading some of the other posts that are up on our Facebook page. It's really funny to me how much of a community we've created on Facebook. I know social media generally, for me anyway, is more doom and gloom and not worth the time. But I do enjoy seeing that many of you have made friends via our Facebook community, those of you who listen to After Hours. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Latest in the sports news, Washington is in fact getting a new nickname and new logo for its football team. The official announcement was made on Monday that we don't yet have the replacement for Redskins, which is being retired after nearly 90 years, going back to the days before the team was even in Washington, D.C., or in the nation's capital. And so Dan Snyder, a major about face, and now that will be another change to absorb for the 2020 season. Right now, they're not prepared to announce a new nickname, new logo, but they should do it relatively soon. If they stay on the track that they're on right now. More importantly, I mean, that's great and all, and I'm glad for those people that believe this change needed to take place. Those people who are offended or it caused them pain. It's easy to make this kind of a change. It's just a name. It's just a name. It does not change the history of the team. It doesn't change the tradition of the team. It doesn't change, you know, the number of players who've gone through there, the number of incredible coaches that have led that franchise. None of that changes. It's just a name. And so it's easy to make the change. That's my opinion. And I'm glad that they're doing it. I kind of think for those of you who are diehard fans of this franchise, that it's a cool opportunity for you to get some new memorabilia, right? So you have to go shopping soon. Elsewhere in the NFL, and again, I think more importantly, they're still working on health and safety protocols to try to get training camp started on time. I don't even know that that's a huge priority. In fact, I don't think it's a huge priority, especially if you're not going to have preseason games. There's really no need for them to get into camp at the end of July. You know, they frequently break camp about 2 weeks before the season starts, and then they end up kind of going through game day protocols instead, right? Because they have, you know, the opportunities then to go through, I think, preseason games 3 and 4 after they've already broken camp, or at the very least one of their preseason games once they've broken camp. And if you're not going to have those games, which is still part of the negotiation process, well, then I don't think you need to have everybody in camp quite as long. You could maybe bump it back a week, bump it back two, just so that you make sure you have all of the steps in place and that both sides have agreed, like the NHL did, like the NBA did. I mean, Major League Baseball, not so much, but at least the players are complying now. Far more important that they get all of these steps in place, because it's complicated and it's meticulous, and it requires so much extra than just the football, right? It requires all the testing. It requires the various travel restrictions and quarantines and everything else, so that they need the time. They need the time to get used to it. They need the time to get adjusted. I think they need the time to practice going through the testing. I mean, we've seen not just Major League Baseball, but how about MLS? Even with the NBA, we've seen some bumpy moments. It's been a bit of a bumpy ride for these various sports trying to get back into the air, so to speak, if we're using the airplane analogy. I mean, takeoff's been a little bumpy because it's not easy to test and manage the testing for thousands of people. In Major League Baseball's case, they administered more than 7,000 tests in the intake process. And then you talk about the NBA and in the bubble and the quarantines and keeping track of people. I mean, there's a lot to manage before you ever start talking about your actual sport or practicing your actual sport. And so, to me, more important to get those things set in stone and to make sure everybody's on the same page than to worry about how much time you actually spend in camp. And so we'll see. But right now, NFL and NFL Players Association are still negotiating, and nothing that we know of concrete came out of Monday's meeting. Training camps are supposed to start in about 2 weeks. Again, I kind of feel like that's the area where there's plenty of give. But did you see that the NFL has unveiled this mouth shield? They contracted with Oakley to come up with a special mouth shield that is supposed to keep the coronavirus at bay. So it's already been tried out. It's already been tested by some players. And I mean, some of the reports that I've heard have indicated that quarterbacks have tried it out and tried to yell their calls out like they would on the line of scrimmage while wearing this mouth shield that was designed by Oakley. And it's, of course, done in collaboration with the NFL, with the Players Association, with doctors, with engineers, yada, yada, yada. But it's actually expected to be passed out to the teams over the next week. And so they're trying to come up with some way that physically they can prevent the exchange of fluids. And it's not just about keeping a player from, you know, from accidentally spitting when he's yelling, or keeping a player from, you know, from getting his bodily fluids, his saliva on someone else, but it's also about not taking in accidentally someone else's spit or saliva. Again, you're down there in the trenches, everybody's yelling and screaming. And I mean, have you ever had a close talker in your life where they are right up in your face when they're talking to you? And if you just happen to have your mouth open, of course you could accidentally take in some of their spit. I know it's gross, but, you know, it's sometimes gross and crazy in the trenches. Anyway, so it's not just about protecting your teammates and competitors. It's also about protecting you. And so there isn't any type of a mandate where these guys have to wear a mask yet. And we've heard some players come out and say, no way, no way am I wearing a mask. And I'm not going to play if they require us to wear a mask. But the NFL is looking at some different options for protective equipment. And one of these things is a special mouth shield that has at least been tried out by players from the Rams and the Chargers. And so they've kind of gone over it and given their feedback. And really the biggest deal, as you can imagine, would be, can they breathe with it in? I mean, that's kind of the problem with a mask. For anybody who wears a mask for a long period of time, I'm not claustrophobic, but there are moments where I have to remind myself to breathe. Just breathe. If you calm down and breathe, it's not as bad. But I do have friends, family members who feel like they're claustrophobic with a mask on. And so I've never tried to work out with one on. I can't even fathom that. I feel like I would pass out. Forget playing football at the highest level. So they need to be able to breathe through the Oakley mouth shield. And the other thing about having any type of a mask on is the visibility. If this mask is impairing your peripheral vision or any other kind of vision when you're on the football field, obviously that's a problem too. And so that's what the players are saying to these engineers and these different, you know, tech firms who are trying to develop some of this, this protective equipment, is that if we're going to wear this stuff, we have to be able to operate the same as we always have. Otherwise, we're not going to wear it. And you know what's, I think, pretty obvious, and it's not just football, but, you know, recent example in football when they've changed the helmet protocols, right? And they've mandated, they've kind of gone through, and this was, of course, in the spotlight because of Antonio Brown, but they've gone through over the last several years and they have essentially outlawed some helmets that they didn't believe provided enough protection for players' noggins and their brains. And so they've kind of gone through that metamorphosis already with helmets, where guys don't want to wear new helmets. I mean, Tom Brady didn't want to wear a new helmet. Aaron Rodgers didn't like the new helmet. I mean, they didn't go quite to the lengths of Antonio Brown, but it's not an easy adjustment when you're used to a particular piece of equipment, and now you have to change. Same thing with the mouth shield. I remember when I first was watching the NBA, not everybody wore the mouth guards. I mean, they weren't nearly as prevalent as they are now. Everybody wears them now. And same thing with, say, the sleeves that guys will wear to protect their joints. And there's all kinds of equipment that guys have to get adjusted to, but it's hard sometimes when you feel like you're comfortable in one particular thing. And then, you know, your sport requires that you try something else. I mean, I remember going back to NASCAR in the wake of Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s death at Daytona, where they were trying to mandate, they hadn't yet, it was still voluntary, but what's called the Hans device, the head and neck safety device. And Dale was resistant to wearing it. Now, there's no way to know for sure, but you know, some people have speculated that if he was wearing this particular head and neck restraint, that it would have prevented him from having the kind of injury at Daytona when he slammed into the wall that killed him. Again, no way of knowing. But after that, I mean, just a tragedy that I'll, as a fan, will never get over. After that tragedy for all the world to see, then they mandated this Hans device. And so it was this transition in NASCAR that at times drivers had been resistant to because of the way they felt like they, you know, it limited their vision. They couldn't move their head around. It just was so unnatural and they felt very restrained. But it's one of those situations where the NFL, and I hope the NFLPA is on board, they're just going to have to mandate it if it comes down to that. Because if you're talking about trying to prevent the spread of the virus versus the comfort of the athletes, then we know what needs to come first. And eventually we adjust, right? As human beings, we adjust. We don't think we can adjust. We don't always like change. In fact, sometimes we can't stand it. But if it's change that allows the sport to go forward, well, then you can imagine most of these guys will be on board, even if it requires a little bit of uncomfortability for a time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're asking you, as part of our Twizzler Tuesday question, worst place that you've ever lost your keys or your cell phone. And some of your responses are cracking me up, like seriously cracking me up. So I saw this one on Facebook. I mean, and we've seen a bunch of these. Devin on Facebook says, I lost my cell in the airport once, slipped out of my pocket from my departing city, didn't realize it until I got to my arrival city. So yeah, there's a lot of those of us who've traveled and left our wallet, our keys, our phone somewhere else. How about this one? Chad, I was leaving for work, didn't know where my keys, my house, my car, my locks were after paying $90 for a locksmith. As soon as he left, I turned off the lights to follow him out the door, and I hit the garbage disposal switch instead, and I heard my keys rattling in the disposal. He said he tried to call the locksmith to get his money back, and the guy was like, no. Could you imagine you just pay all this money for a locksmith, and then you you flip the switch on accident, and oh, what is that in the garbage disposal? That's crazy. Let's see. Byron on Facebook, Keys went MIA, never to be seen again. Yeah, that, I think that happens pretty frequently. Flip phone got left on the beach overnight. Salty air corroded all the copper parts, lost the contacts, the photos, everything. Oh my gosh. I dropped mine on the beach once too, but I thankfully was able to go back and find it. My nieces and I, we went out with a flashlight, but mostly they were calling the phone nonstop until we got close enough to see it lit up in the sand. Mike says, snuffling show. What? Did you hear what I just said? Can we just forget that ever happened? Snuffling show. It's another Amy-ism. Shoveling snow after a New England winter blizzard. Came home, no phone. 3 months later, after the snow melted, found the phone on the ground. It still worked. It had fallen in the neighbor's yard who was shoveling as well. That's pretty amazing. Kind of nice moral to the story. Although, of course, at that point, you probably have already gotten yourself a new cell phone. Oh my gosh. And then there's the goody two shoes on Facebook. I never have lost my keys or my cell phone, Amy. Of course you haven't, because you're perfect. Let's see. Jeremy, my roommate was sleeping. I took his car for a joyride to meet a girl. Got out of the car, left the car running. It locked behind me. I had to make the call of shame, and he wasn't too happy. No, I suppose he wasn't. Wait until you hear the craziest place I've ever left my cell phone. Oh my gosh. And what I was willing to do to get it back. I'll have to share my cell phone story with you on Twitter or Facebook. Our phone number 855-212-4227. Good morning to you. If you're waking up on your Tuesday, ouch, 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 ouch. I'd rather just be up all night.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If you missed my conversation with former San Francisco Niners, you know, San Francisco Niners. I can't be held responsible for some of the dumb stuff I say. I suppose I can be held responsible, but I prefer you just chalk it up as part of my charm and my quirkiness, please. San Francisco 49ers defensive lineman Ian Williams from the first hour of the show, and he also works for NBC Sports Bay Area, a fantastic talker. And we pretty much covered everything to do with the Niners, but also we talked about his thoughts on college football as a Notre Dame alum and the difference between college and pro and which one he thinks is more likely to actually get on the field. Really good stuff about the protocols and whether or not they're realistic, at least what we've seen from the NFL so far. So I'd encourage you to make sure you grab that on our podcast, updated every weekday morning, after hours, amylawrence.com. You can also listen to a portion of it coming up next hour because we're going to replay a little bit of it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Worst place that you have ever dropped your keys, lost your keys, dropped your cell phone, lost your cell phone on Twitter or on Facebook. And then our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you too have lost your cell phone, snuffling show, well, you know, that's a good story that you can share with us. Let's talk to Buddy, who's listening in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for many years of enjoyable listening.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
I took a friend and her two daughters to Disney World and down in Orlando, Florida, for vacation. And we were getting on the runaway train, which is a small but quick little roller coaster. I had on a pair of shorts, and it didn't have no front pockets and only one rear pocket. And that's where my wallet and handkerchief and comb was. So my keys were in my shirt pocket. So we're riding the roller coaster. We go up a hill and down real quick. My keys come out of my pocket and go airborne. And never seen where they went, where they landed, or anything. So we end up getting off the ride. I got no keys to the car, no keys to the motel.
Oh, no.
I'm sitting there in a panic. What do I do? I got three people I'm responsible for. So we go on and finish the day out. so we don't interrupt the fun.
You actually managed to have fun the rest of the day without freaking out over your keys? I don't think I would have been able to.
You have to adapt. It would have been worse if I said, oh, we got to go, and I ain't even got keys to go in.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
So we finish the day and are getting ready to go out to the car and call a locksmith and try to get keys for it. And as we're walking out, she looks in her pocketbook for something, went to get something. Here's the keys in her pocketbook. Her pocketbook was in between us, and the keys went out of my shirt, up in the air, and landed back down in her pocketbook.
No way.
I could not believe it.
No way.
You know, a sigh of relief that lasted forever.
Oh, no, I understand for sure. You'll know when you hear my story about the cell phone, but oh my gosh, that thing, what are the chances, buddy?
Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
but that was my best one.
And how long did it take you to figure that out?
I had no clue.
I know, but I mean, like, how many hours do you know elapsed before you figured out that your keys?
It was probably 4 hours.
Oh my gosh, 4 hours of stress.
We didn't leave till later.
Oh my gosh,
it's just worry the whole time. What am I going to do?
I got you. Holy cow, that's a great story, buddy. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Thank you, Amy. You take care.
You too. I'm not laughing at you, I promise. I'm just laughing near you. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. This is a tweet from Matt. Deliver beer in a not-so-good part of Yonkers. Grabbed the keys to my vehicle, locked the door, proceeded to drop the keys right into the only street drainage grate I could see for a mile. Oh, no. God. And I agree with this last piece of Matt's tweet. To see them but not be able to grab them is the absolute worst. Yeah, no doubt. You know they're there. Look, they're right there. I have to be able to get them. They're right there. Yeah, not so much. Oh, gosh, Matt. That sucks for sure. Let's see if I can find another tweet. Here's one. A-Law Radio, all packed up for family vacation, loaded in the car. Where's the keys? Over an hour later, found them in the hole of the subwoofer in the living room. My youngest had hid them there. Wait, on purpose? Your youngest hid them there on purpose? Or it was supposed to be, he was just playing. He or she was just playing. Oh, that's awful. Apparently, your youngest couldn't tell you where he or she had put them. Let's see. Eugene on Twitter, not me, but my wife, called me at work one day cussing me out because she couldn't find her keys. I tell her to look in the car. Normally, they're still in the house door. They were in the ignition. Oh, come on. I've done that before. I've lost my keys in the ignition. I've lost my keys when I was holding them in my hand. Someone said, I think it was on Facebook, that he actually searched for his cell phone once using the light on his cell phone. We just get scatterbrained sometimes when we're tired, we're cranky. We have a bunch of other things on our mind. Yeah, I mean, we just, some of the details tend to slip away. Seth on Twitter, left my mother-in-law's phone in the lounge in the Moscow, Russia airport. I'm not going to ask why he had his mother-in-law's phone. Left my mother-in-law's phone in the lounge in the Moscow airport. My friend was still in Russia, but he was in St. Petersburg. Had to pay for his flight and hotel to retrieve the phone. Got the phone back 4 months later when he got back to the U.S. Oh, how convenient that it was your mother-in-law's phone and not yours, Seth. I really like that one. Danny on Twitter, locked keys and phone in my car at a gas station. They had nothing to use, so they had to call 911 for me. Said the locksmith was busy. Cop took his flashlight to break my driver's side window to open the door. They got it open, but $220 was the bill to pay for that. Oh, that's the part that hurts the worst. Is that you watch that money just poof, go up in smoke. 855-212-4227. Marion says, truck driver here locked my keys and cell phone in the truck in a fuel line after fueling. Truck running and a whole line of trucks behind me. Ooh, that must have been uncomfortable when they were beeping at you. Let's see. Here's another one. This is terrible. Dave, this one's terrible. This might be worse than your story about your sat phone that you dropped into a commode. Jeffrey on Facebook, at an outdoor concert venue, started pulling my phone out of my pocket. Why? Why would you ever pull your phone out of your pocket in a porta potty? I'm just asking. But you know where this is going. Pulled my phone out of my pocket. My keys fell into the porta potty. Well, needless to say, new keys were made. No, that's the first rule of thumb. When you're in the bathroom, don't pull your phone out of anywhere. Don't pull your keys out of anywhere, especially not when you're in a porta potty. You know there's no way to get them back. You can't even reach the... Gross! Maybe that's something good to come out of 2020. Very few of us are using porta potties, right? Heavens. Okay, so on that note, we'll get back to your calls. We got full phone lines, which is great. Love to talk to you. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Sure, I've accidentally walked into a men's bathroom more than once. But every time I do, I keep my cell phone in my pocket. Those of you who can't go 30 seconds while you're on the toilet to leave your phone in your pocket, especially if it's a porta potty, are you kidding me? Once you have dropped something into a porta potty, it is irretrievable. There's no way to get it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, the worst place you've ever lost your keys or your cell phone. Now, it's great if you get them back. I hope that you do get them back, but sometimes we're not that lucky. First, let's do our player of the week. It's brought to you by Grainger, and we take a look at the one who got it done back. Actually, it's not that far back, but you know, we're having to go back in history a little bit anyway, until we get our big four on the field, on the court, on the ice. We're going history when it comes to our player of the week, but you all may remember this one just a couple of years ago, and it would have been 2 years this past weekend, right? The two-year anniversary at Wimbledon, where Angelique Kerber became the first German since Steffi Graf in 96 to win Wimbledon, beating Serena Williams in straight sets 6-3, 6-3. So this would have been the two-year anniversary for Angelique. If we had had Wimbledon at the All England Club, of course, it was canceled, a victim of the coronavirus. But really neat moment for her, and we know that Serena Williams has been working her way back, and certainly, I believe, still has a major win in her. The reason this one appeals to me from Grainger is because Steffi Graf is my all-time favorite female athlete. And I have some others that I really love, but Steffi, I never missed a tennis match that she played in back when she was roaming the courts, and Wimbledon was, well, grass was her favorite surface. Wimbledon, she was great anywhere really, but Wimbledon was her favorite tournament. So I love to watch her play. I cried when she retired, but she was awesome for all those years. The player of the week is sponsored by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and a whole lot more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done, like Angelique Kerber, our player of the week. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Before we get back to your calls, I'll tell you my worst ever lost cell phone story. I was coming back from Ecuador. So this is not a recent trip, but going back to summer of 2009, I had contracted salmonella poisoning. So, of course, everything is a little fuzzy. But I had eaten some undercooked chicken. And thankfully, it was the very end of my trip. It's why I do not eat meat outside of the United States of America and why I hardly ever cook chicken myself anymore. Anyway, had eaten some undercooked chicken, got really ill. I mean, really ill. Had to travel back from Ecuador with the group that I was with like that. And I'm on the plane. It was our second leg, so we were flying into Miami. And I remember I was just mostly out of it. I felt so terrible. And they had handed out these paper bag lunches, which was our food on the plane. Somehow, I had managed to drop my cell phone into the paper bag, which had then my trash in it. I didn't really eat much because when you have salmonella poisoning, your food is not interesting to you. So for the most part, there was still food in it, but some trash. somehow my cell phone dropped in there. And when the stewardess flight attendant came around, I threw the paper bag into her trash bag because that's what they do. They collect your trash. So I'm, by the way, in row five or six of this airplane. So the plane lands and I'm standing up and again, really kind of woozy and out of it, but I can't find my cell phone. I'm looking the floor, the seat, just everywhere I can possibly think that I might've stashed my cell phone. And all of a sudden I get this just this moment of no, you know, when that fear grips you and it's an audible, I knew it. All of a sudden I knew exactly where my cell phone was, right? It was the only place it could have been. So I beg a flight attendant who is waiting for me to get off the plane. You're going to have to let me stay here. Please, please. I need to go back to the back of the plane and go through some of the trash bags and see if I can find my cell phone. And she thought I was a little crazy, of course, because how many bags of trash they've collected over the course of the flight. And the fact that they were piling up this trash in the back of the plane. So I couldn't go against the stream of people that were getting off the plane. I couldn't walk down the aisle. So instead, I'm climbing over seats all the way to the back of the plane. Again, this is while I have salmonella poisoning and I feel like I want to upchuck the whole time. I'm climbing over seats. I get to the back of the plane. There's a very nice flight attendant back there who said, I'll help you look. We open up the first bag of trash. This is my form of dumpster diving. We open up the first bag of trash. Wouldn't you know, right on top is a brown paper bag. First one I open up, my cell phone is in it. Kid you not. It's a miracle. I still know that that had to be an act of God because there's no other way that it was the very first trash bag we opened and the very first brown paper bag that we looked inside and there was my cell phone on top. Okay, how does that even happen? Yeah, but I threw it away into the trash. Oh my gosh. Just the fear that grips you. And then the euphoria when you realize, oh my gosh, disaster averted. And I don't even deserve it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Ken, who's in Boise, Idaho. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call, Amy.
You're welcome.
So I was on an anniversary trip to Jamaica with my wife, and after the bars closed, we decided to go on a swim in the ocean.
Oh, no.
Lost our keys and the room safe key.
Oh, no.
With our passports all our other belongings in it.
Ugh.
So I stressed all night and decided at sunbreak to go back out into the ocean and look for it.
Mm-hmm.
And walked around for an hour and found the keys in the ocean, in the sand.
But in the phone or no?
It was my keys.
Oh, it was your keys. Got it.
To the room.
Okay.
And the safe keys.
Just out of curiosity, were you sober when you decided to go swimming in the ocean?
Oh, not at the beginning, no.
I guess losing your keys in the ocean is a quick way to sober up, no?
It was quickly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's amazing. It's a good thing that no whale came along and swallowed up your keys.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that could have ruined the rest of your vacation. I'm glad it did not.
Yeah, but it was a stressful 2 hours of sobering up quickly.
Yeah, I bet it was. Ken, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
855-212-4227. Like I say, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing near you because I've done all of these same things in some form or another. Ralph is listening in Long Beach, New York. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, long time not see, Total Package. I was packing up my friend's rock band and I was putting stuff in his guitar case and I dropped my keys. They were going back to Philadelphia. I was in New York and they were going back to Philadelphia.
Uh-oh.
And I realized that, oh no, I don't have my keys. So I couldn't get back to my house. I couldn't get back. So I ended up sleeping on the beach. And the beauty of it was I made a fire and met a bunch of friends that I still know today.
What happened to your keys?
They went to Philadelphia.
Oh, you never got them back?
They mailed them back, but I've had a brain injury, so I've done this a million times. I've left my keys on top of cars. I left my keys at basketball games, at the parents' places. And that's a story that, with the problem of losing my teeth, I beat people at my fire on the beach, slept on the beach.
Wow.
In Long Beach, New York. A lot of bands used to come to Long Beach from Philadelphia because they were like they had a good vibe down there. So this is, you know. But speaking of that, I did lose my keys when I saw the Monkees open up. And guess who the opening act was? Jimi Hendrix, 1967, at the Action House.
I'm impressed that you remember that. I can't. I mean, I wasn't alive in 1967.
No, you're a New Hampshire legend, and
you
could have been with us because it was $2.50.
I couldn't have been with you because I wasn't alive.
You could have been with me because you're not a jellyfish. You have a backbone. You're a real woman.
I wasn't alive at that time, so that wouldn't have been impossible.
It would have been impossible, but
yeah,
I did see, and I'm a jock, and I go, we're going to see the Monkees. All of a sudden, I hear this guy playing the guitar. I'm going, it's starting to hurt my ears. I'm like, I can't take it. My friend goes, that's Jimi Hendrix. Because they would stop at the Action House before they would go to the Fillmore East. And there was Rod Stewart without the Faces without Rod Stewart play there. Grateful Dead, the Allman Brothers with Duane Allman. I mean, I was a Woodstock. I see it. But you were talking about Mr. Gallo the other night. That's my best friend's son, Tony Gallo's. Grew up at Meany's Rockaway.
Mm-hmm.
He moved to Vegas to give the kid when he got divorced. And I just love that guy. And Tony Gallo had a rough life, but he moved to Vegas, opened up a pizza school. And he has a son named Joey Gallo who grows up with Bryce Harper. And
that's awesome.
Mr. Chris Bryant.
See,
but I love your stories about your grandmother. And you make my day. I wake up at 4. I'm right on the beach now because I was in Arizona. And I'm right on the beach back to where I grew up. And I get on my bike and people are surfing at 5 o'clock. The girls are doing the yoga. It's like
men do yoga too.
Oh, men are doing yoga, but I don't do yoga. I do a frisbee. I do a frisbee training class where I put on Todd Rundgren and the Beatles, and we do the old the Coach Ralph.
Very
frisbee,
cool.
Exercise.
Well, Ralph, it's good to talk to you. I have to let you go so we can squeeze in another phone call here before the top of the hour, but it's nice to talk to you. I'm so glad that you made some friends in your key losing experience. 855-212-4227. Tom on Facebook. My keys are at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, 1982, U.S. Navy. Well, sir, I'm not sure it makes much of a difference now, but thank you for your service. I guess that's a story you can tell, right? Bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. And then Kendall says, I was at the Grand Canyon climbing out on a ledge to get a better picture. Oh, no, I can tell where this is going. He says, I brushed up against a small bush and a branch caught the belt clip my phone was in. Somehow managed to pull the clip and the phone off. And bye-bye phone down the side of a 100-foot cliff in the blink of an eye. Oh, dear. Kendall, again, great story, but ouch. Let's quick talk to Jeff, who's in Astoria, New York. Jeff, you got about, we'll call you 90 seconds. Go ahead.
So you can get 30 seconds back. Anyway, there was a period of time when I worked at an agency, worked on godly hours a couple of years ago. So obviously taking Uber after Uber, 2 o'clock, 2:15 in the morning, getting back. So anyway, getting back one night, pretty delirious. You know, it's like one of those nights where you have your cell phone in your hand and it just drops without you even knowing it. Next thing you know, the Uber driver's like, sir, you know, you were here. Time to go. Thanks a lot. See you later. So anyway, 15 seconds later, get in the house. And, you know, it's one of those four-letter expletives situations.
I got you. Uh-huh.
So anyway, I get on my tablet. I realize I don't have my phone. Get on my tablet to look at where my find my iPhone app. And I'm realizing, all right, the phone is, you know, this guy lives near, you know, LaGuardia Airport. Not too bad. I run down the block to Astoria Tavern. Luckily, the dive is still open. Get one of the bartenders and say, hey, listen, can you dial a cell phone number and leave a message? Anyway, no answer. So I leave my, you know, I feel like I'm from the 90s. I leave my email. And long story short, he comes back to me. I get an email the next morning. It says, hey, got your phone back. Just pick it up when you get back from work.
So
anyway, just decided to pay it forward. Gave him $20 that he laid out to the guy that obviously returned the phone and gave him $20 for a nice tip. So
that's
there you
awesome.
Go.
Very cool. Yeah. Although I feel a little old now. Are you saying that the email is so 90s? I mean, the 90s are back now, but the emails, that's from the 90s? I still use email. In fact, I'm in the middle of writing an email right now. I mean, during the breaks. All right, Jeff. Well, my nieces do always tell me the 80s and 90s are back. So I guess email is cool again. I don't know. I like email. It goes straight to my phone, which is right here in front of me. Suckas. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good to have you. Good morning to you if you're waking up on your Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.